Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving. Mightily moved by the Holy Spirit. His return is very soon. Sudden. Without warning, we'll go about our normal day, and here he is. I love the Lord our God. He thinks of everything. And I know I say that often, but it never stops amazing me how precise and how perfect God does all things. Many people argue over the timing of his coming, the timing of the rapture. But on the other side, we will know for certain that the Lord comes at the most precise moment, where he can get the fullness of the Gentiles in, as many as possible. He set it up according to his mercy and grace. Brother Horton would say his chesed. And which means more than mercy and grace and love. It's so many things combined, that word chesed. It's a Jewish word. Hebrew, I don't know it fully, but I know that God is good. And he's not just saving people. He's putting an end to sin. He will not let sin into heaven. And he's working with people so that they don't have to go to hell. But everybody has to make that individual choice that I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to have faith in him. I'm going to live the life I've been given. And when it's like that, God can work in our lives. He can do things that he normally couldn't. He can do things in our lives that, whereas before he was restricted. Sin is a restriction. It's a restriction against us and a restriction against God. That's why the enemy tries to propel man into the jaws of sin. If a person starts compromising, the enemy will use it to his gain. Once we're trapped good, then he'll go and accuse us before God. And we can't fall for any of it. But Jesus Christ gave us power over all of it. And then he gave us authority over wickedness, over Satan and all of his power. Is subject to. That's why the enemy can't do all the things he wants to do. The things he's been cooking up, the things he's been planning, he can't finish until the church is either neutralized or gone. And I always talk pre-tribulation rapture. And I listen to Pastor Langford and I listened to Irvin Baxter, because I never heard, in my circle where I was from, what the churches I went to, they taught pre-tribulation, and they made a pretty strong case, in my opinion. And I love Perry Stone. He preaches pre-tribulation as well. But if you draw a conclusion without hearing all the other cases, Irvin Baxter brought a strong case. I watched him one night. I said, he's preaching post-tribulation. I never heard that argument. Nobody ever made a case for it. And to me, now, people have done it, but I just didn't hear it. So I listened. And he said some remarks. I had to go do my research. Then Pastor Langford talked about the fast he went on and how the Lord told him that that wouldn't be a pre-tribulation rapture. And he made a strong case. So I started studying deeper. And then one day it just came to me, hey, the rapture happens at the last trump, which is the seventh trump, which is after the sixth trump. So I had to reorganize the way I looked at it. Now, in my ministry, I believe in fail-safes. My fail-safe is preaching what God reveals to me. Not against the word. Everything that God revealed will be the word. But that burning message he put in your heart, it's a fail-safe. And if you preach it exactly like he say, you'll be in the safety zone. You'll be within the confines of the word. Even though your understanding may not completely match. That's the beauty of following God. And then I get a chance to see, what is God condoning? What is God repelling? What is he doing? He's always dividing light from darkness. He chooses light, rejects darkness. So I often reorganize my opinions. And sometimes I get rid of wrong opinions. And I go for it God's way. Because the Holy Spirit will only recognize his word. He will only back up his word with signs and wonders. No matter how much people love their pet doctrines and the way that they were taught, if it's not the word of God, the Holy Spirit can't use it. He's gonna follow his word with signs and wonders, not Satan's and not man's opinion. And I know this. So I look at, what did God give me to say? How many times did he tell me to preach a pre-tribulation rapture? And that's just something I always believe. It may have come out in my doctrine, but what came from the Holy Spirit was always things more precise. When he gave me that vision, he said, tell my people my return is soon. Is it not? He didn't use the word soon. I have to say it like he did. He said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left. Now, he didn't use the word rapture. He said return, which is the same thing in our case. Because I always believed that the rapture would happen before the second coming, which it does. So this was 2017. Here it is 2019, and his return is still imminent. Now, with God, he had to tell me that in time for me to sound the alarm. He's not going to give you an alarming message and no time to warn people. And it takes time for people to process. So in November, it will be 2 years. It's been almost 2 years at this point. This is October 2019. That's just a few moments to God. But the word imminent was used, which means any moment. Now, it put me on alert. And a lot of good things happened because of it. I had a vision about the rapture in 1984. So I started listening to other people's rapture visions. And people have different aspects of it. And the ones that's of God is true. And it caused, in doing that, when you go on YouTube and pull things up, you are a man that I greatly appreciate, and I'm glad to find out about. I learned about his ministry, and that's Henry Gruber. After that dream, I started listening to Rapture Visions, and then I eventually saw his YouTube video where he died and went through the Milky Way, and I'm interested in things like that. So I was introduced to a man of God, and I heard so many of his wonderful YouTube broadcasts. And it has tremendously helped and blessed my life. And Steve Quayle, these are two wonderful men of God that everybody need to listen to. Also, the Ugandan pastor, and every child of God need to listen to and take in what the Ugandan pastor said. Among many others. And I learned so many things that I wasn't used to. The Holy Spirit is working in my life. He's working in your life, and he works through other people. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which includes the written word, the Holy Spirit to you. and the Holy Spirit operating in the lives of others. If the prophet is subject to the prophet, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, we need to be paying attention. We need to receive His word, have faith in it, act on it, and let it produce fruit in our lives. We have a stronger, we can live so much better when we follow God. And sometimes the knowledge and revelation don't always come through one channel. It don't always come through whoever we like the most. Sometimes they have an aspect and then others have an aspect. And we must listen to what God is saying in order to be not only fully persuaded, but to thrive in life. I'm greatly interested in thriving in life, not just surviving, not just barely making it, but thriving in life. And sometimes the things that the Holy Spirit grants you through others, what He yields through others, can make the day. It can put you on a path to greater success. It's kind of like a prospering man can prosper. He can prosper in a multiplied way, in an exponential multiplied way, if he has a wise and loving wife. And a prospering woman can prosper in an exponential multiplied way with a wise and loving husband, somebody that'll listen to the truth and do it. It takes love to do all that. Without the love of God, none of this is possible. But see, pride works in reverse of God. It's a void. It brings nothing good to the table. Nothing. It's a void. That's why Satan is such an illusionist. He's just like the Wizard of Oz. All talk and no do. He was just a man in a room using theatrics, causing people to ruin their lives. That's all he is. And everybody in this kingdom is no different. I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. And we love to talk about the Lord when we're together. And I was looking at his car, but we were talking. I said, Jesus said he that believes will do greater works than me. He didn't say they. He said he. And he did just like I did years ago. He said, I never caught it that way. I always thought plural. And I said, the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he taught us and then he left. I said, what did the word of God teach when he came? He taught the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, and all the parables. And they prepared us for what Peter wrote. See, 1 Peter is a much greater revelation than everything that Jesus taught. Why? Because Jesus was introducing man to salvation. He said, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. But Peter said, love others as Jesus loved you. That's a greater message. That's a greater work. There's more life in it. But the Lord had to start where people could start. But Peter came and that's the best revelation in the whole Bible. And Peter taught love and then John taught love. And when I asked the Lord to teach me how to love, those were the principles that he taught me, but I didn't know that 1 Peter wrote that. I read over it, but I didn't get it. A few years recently, I studied it. 5 or 6 years ago, I studied it. And you have to read 1 Peter as one chapter, all 5 books. It shouldn't be 5 chapters. That's one flowing train of thought. And if you read it as one flowing revelation, you'll know how to live. But if you read chapters here and there, if you don't have a firm foundation of chapter 1, the rest of it won't make as much sense to you. But if you read chapter 1 and get it in your heart, and then the rest of it shows you the benefits of chapter 1. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is moving by His Spirit. And the Word of God helps us to join Him. It helps us. You can't just learn God's ways. You have to receive God's ways in your heart. See, sometimes people learn math. 2 and 2 is 4. Okay, I know that. I believe it. I know it. It's easy to see, understand, process. I can understand that forever. But the Word of God, when you're taught it, you have to receive it, or it will be lost. You have to treasure it, or the enemy will come to take it away. And he'll win if he... See, the Word of God, it charges our heart. You can charge a battery. The battery is loaded with charge, and it'll crank a car. It'll crank a truck. It'll do work. It's ready. But if you discharge it, it can't do any of that. The Word of God charges our heart, and we have to hold on to it. We have to keep the charge of the Word. And when we go out and live in life and do the things of life, you have to keep that process. You go back and refill your heart with the love and Word of God. You read the same thing over and over to keep the charge alive in you. That's the life of God. It gets in your heart. It becomes a part of who you are. And sometimes people, they don't refill the charge. They treat it like arithmetic. Well, I learned math and I can do it. I can count and I can add. I can multiply. I can subtract. I can do even algebra and calculus. But that's all wonderful. But the Word of God, you learn it. You receive it. And you do it. And when you're challenged, go back and after you win your battle, go back and recharge your heart with that same Word. The Lord taught me that. He said, when you preach, go back and fill your heart with the Word that you just preached. That way you can keep it. That way it won't be lost. The Lord said, when you minister, when you know you're going to preach, and when you preach, always bind up the spirit of blindness. And I kept forgetting to do it. I said, how can I do that? He said, practice. You have to do the Word of God, and it'll stay in your forethought. It'll stay in your heart. You won't lose it. You'll be able to access it. You'll be able to use all the Word of God that you receive. This is a secret to many, but this is how it works. And this is how the process goes. Arithmetic, you can learn it and keep it forever. But that's not under attack. Satan don't want you to have the Word of God. So he uses all forms of deception against it. The things of this world. Some people are going to hell because they won't let anger go. They love what's true, they want what's true, and they're angry and they sin because of it. And they get in strife, and that strife turns to bitterness, and it troubles them. They want to go to heaven and can't go. Preacher, that don't sound right. It's true. If you get enough forgiveness, then God won't forgive you all your millions of sins. He forgave us of a great debt. And we're required to forgive everybody. That's why I hate election years. People get in strife over the presidents and mayors and governors, and they hate this one and they love that one. And no matter who wins, Satan is still trying to attack them. He's still trying to turn them and cause turmoil. You have to pray for the people in charge, whether you like them, even if they're wicked. You have to pray that God will cause them to do what's necessary and not what's unnecessary. You just have to pray. I mean, if you get a wicked man in charge, you really got to pray. And if you get a good man in charge, you still really got to pray, because Satan trying to get it to change him. He'll use anything to corrupt the good. When a person's in charge of something, the enemy will try to tempt them with the most beautiful women or men or whatever to get them off track, to get them in compromise so that he can cause trouble. Even bribery. You have to pray and build up the people in life. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And we're in it to win it. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.